नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Part 4 of an ongoing series discussing Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 36. The last of the four Chaturshloki verses from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Etavad eva jigyasyam.
Etavad eva jigyasyam.
Tatva jigyasunatmanaha. Anvayavyatirekabhyam. Yat syat sarvatra sarvada. Etavad eva jigyasyam.
Etavad eva jigyasyam.
Tatva jigyasanatmanah. Anvayavyatirekabhyam. Yat syat sarvatra sarvada. Etavat.
Up to this.
Eva.
Certainly.
Jigyasyam.
Is to be inquired.
Tatva.
The absolute truth.
Jigyasuna.
By the student.
Atmanaha.
Of the self.
Anvaya.
Directly.
Vyatirekabhyam.
Indirectly.
Yat.
Whatever.
Syat.
It may be.
Sarvatra.
In all space and time.
Sarvada.
In all circumstances. Translation. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Well, we've covered a number of pages of purport, and I'm going to continue in the middle of page 562, and we'll cover through the bottom of page 566, and I'm going to have to continue part 5 from my next place, because we're not going to finish. The subject matter, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur emphasized it this way, the subject matter of this verse is the process of devotional service. Question being raised, what's the best of all sadhanas? Sadhana means your practice. And sadhana bhakti is the best of all sadhanas. And in a number of different ways, different forms of yoga, what happens if you do practice bhakti along with something, what happens if you don't practice bhakti along with something. Bhakti is superlative based on scriptural evidence and observation, what is produced from the performance of bhakti. So the lead-in to where we're going to pick up is anybody's eligible. Whatsoever and whoever or whosoever he or she may be, any person can attain the highest perfection of life by going back home, back to Godhead, provided, so here's the condition, he or she takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in all earnestness. So there's the object, lotus feet of the Lord, there's the effort on the part of the sadhaka, the practitioner. And that earnestness means like sincerity or they really mean it. It's not external, it's not mechanical, it's bhakti, it's with sincere purpose. So the light has to be on inside. No lights out allowed. Light on inside for the purpose of reaching Krishna's lotus feet sincerely. This sincere earnestness is the only qualification that can lead one to the highest perfectional stage of life. And unless and until such real earnestness is aroused, there is a difference between cleanliness or uncleanliness, learning or not learning. In the material estimation, that is to say, in karma kanda, the purity of the place, the proper time, the qualified person, vastu, everything has to be just right. Or it doesn't, there's no effect. Karma, in karma yoga, or karma kanda. And in gyan yoga, in that process, one has to be very learned. But in this process, it doesn't matter. But if minus bhakti, then it matters. Then, that is to say, features of duality take prominence. It's another way of saying the same thing. When the sun is out, full daylight, the firefly or glowworm, what light do they produce? Nothing. Insignificant. In the night, when there's no light, oh, look at the firefly, look at the glowworm. Ooh. During the daytime, full sunlight, insignificant. Or there's another saying Prabhupada would refer to sometime. In a desert, even a castor plant looks like a tree. Castor plant, little guy, growing out of the sand. Even a castor plant looks like a tree in a desert. So when it's desert-like condition of spiritual paucity, something karmakanda, something gyanakanda, oh, big deal. But in the presence of bhakti, those features of duality, what karma, kanda, what rituals from the Vedas can produce the fruit, the benefit, etc. Or Gyan Yoga is insignificant. Insignificant. Continuing. Fire is always fire. Okay, it's not straightforward, no problem. What does it mean? And thus, if someone touches the fire, knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will act on its own, in its own way, without discrimination. So he's now going to give like five quick little scriptural references, just the first line of the verses, to illustrate, or yeah, to give example of fire is always fire, that bhakti acts. Whether people know it or don't know it, they have faith, they don't have faith, fire acts. And bhakti acts in such a way that the material duality fades. Sinful reactions are eliminated. No darkness can stand in light. Fire is fire. Purity is purity. That which connects them with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all sadhanas, there's no space there for material duality, material attraction. That which brings one into the material existence is gone. So there's these, this is illustrating the superlative position, sadhana-wise, of devotional service. The principle is, : so here's the first quote. Harir harati papani dushta chittair api smritaha. Meaning, the all-powerful Lord can purify the devotee of all sinful reactions just as the sun can sterilize all sorts of infections by its powerful rays. So that's what bhakti does. Bhakti to Hari, Krishna bhakti. It sterilizes. Then he says it in reverse. Attraction, quote, attraction for material enjoyment cannot act upon a pure devotee of the Lord. So bhakti purifies, impurity can't stand. That which is impure is made pure. That which is impure can't stand in the presence of pure. So, standing it forwards and backwards. This is the best process, is the point. Then he says there are, so that's the principle. Now, there's hundreds and thousands of aphorisms in the revealed scriptures. Here's one. Atmaramas chamunaya. That's the Atmarama verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7. Very important verse. Quote, even the self-realized souls are attracted by the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Which means, those who are not attracted to anything material are attracted to devotional service. The implication is, the logic is, pure devotional service is not material. There is nothing material about devotional service, therefore it's the best of sadhanas. It's the means for one who is in material contamination to go beyond material contamination, because the process itself is beyond material contamination. Why? What's the evidence or proof? Even self-realized soul, beyond material attraction, are attracted. Very important verse in the Bhagavatam. The reference is Shukadeva Goswami, who was Brahman realized, was attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. And the sages who heard that said, wait a minute, why does a perfected soul have to study anything? He's already there. So why would he be attracted to studying Bhagavatam? The answer is, he's attracted to that which is pure. So it's evidence that he who is attracted to only purity is attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not impure. There's nothing impure. And therefore, similarly, those who are impure, if they can somehow develop some attraction for that, they'll become pure. Next. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasa deva parayana. That's the sixth canto verse. Quote, simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes a great devotee of Lord Vasudev. Again, the impure becomes pure by contact with the pure. In this case, it's the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is hearing and chanting about Vasudev, Krishna. By contacting the process, one becomes pure. The process is pure. For anybody. Doesn't matter. Next. Na chalati bhagavat padaravinda lavani meshadritam api sa vaishnavagriya. Quote, a person who does not move from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment or a second is to be considered the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So again, the best of sadhanas. One who is at the perfection of that best of sadhanas doesn't move. So even if you do a little bit, it's the best of sadhanas. Keep cultivating. Keep cultivating. The best of sadhanas. The last of the quotes. Bhagavat pa parshadatam prapte matsevaya patitam te. Quote, the pure devotees are convinced of attaining the association of the Personality of Godhead, and thus they are always engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord. So that's describing the quality of sadhana. Again, back to the sincere earnestness. They're convinced that the propellant of sincere earnestness is this conviction. Lotus feet of the Lord. That's my shelter. Even I'm weak. I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. I have so many shortcomings. This is my shelter. Based on that sincere earnestness, continues to engage one in devotional service. Therefore, I like when Prabhupada says therefore. It's like, okay, wake up, therefore. He said a whole bunch of things. What's the summary? Therefore, in all continents, in all planets, in all universes, devotional service to the Lord or bhakti yoga is current. And that is the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam and allied scriptures. So this is sarvatra sarvada, in all time, all space, all circumstances. All of this is to amplify that. Everywhere. And he goes on. He's fired up. Everywhere means in every part of creation of the Lord. Then he's going to go into the Tadangam. Remember that one? Sarahasyam means that mystery. Devotional service is the mystery. Tad angam cha, along with angam, paraphernalia, ingredients, stuff, things that we do with devotional service, which is related to the yati reka vyam, directly and indirectly. So, here he goes. The Lord can be served by all the senses. So these are instruments. We serve with instruments. And the senses are instruments of service. The Lord can be served by all the senses, and even simply by the mind. The South Indian Brahmin who served the Lord simply on the strength of the mind also factually realized the Lord. That's the South Indian Brahmin. Is mentioned in Nectar Devotion, the Brahmin that was his whole life engaged in deity worship, and he became very old. So he was too old to do all the things, go and get ingredients. So he just did it in his mind. And he was in bliss. Which doesn't mean we just sit down as before our deities and serve them in our mind. But if physically you're incapable, then you can do in your mind. So he went to the forest and he gathered the best of flowers and so many things, ingredients, and prepared them with great devotion, worshipped his deity. Then he would bathe the deity with waters from all the sacred rivers and on and on and on. And then he would dress the deity with the finest of ornaments and garments and cloth. And then he was preparing items, cooked items to be offered to the deity, and he would do this every day, you know, for hours. So one day he was making sweet rice, and it's best if the sweet rice is cool. Prabhupada calls it paramanam, the supreme grain, supreme sweet is sweet rice. Best way to use grain is a terminology used, he said, in Bengal. So he was testing the sweet rice to see if it had become cool yet. And when he stuck his thumb into the pot of sweet rice, it was still hot in his meditation, and it burned his thumb in his meditation, and it broke him out of his meditation. He looked at his thumb was burnt. Worshipping the Lord with the senses, tadangam, the instruments, and including the mind. Success is guaranteed for a devotee who fully engages any one of his senses in the mode of devotional service. So, the instruments. Now, what about ingredients? The Lord can be served by any ingredient, even the most common commodity. A flower, a leaf, a fruit, a little water, which are available in any part of the universe without cost. And thus the Lord is served universally by the universal entities. So instruments, ingredients, then method. He can be served simply by hearing. He can be served simply by chanting or reading about his activities. He can be served simply by adoring him and accepting him. That's easy. One applies oneself. Then the next he's going to go again to Sarvada, in all circumstances. To do that he refers to a very important Bhagavad Gita verse, 9:27, Yad Karoshi Yad Asnasi. He says, in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one can serve the Lord by offering the results of one's work. It doesn't matter what one does. Generally, men say that whatever they are doing is inspired by God. But that is not all. One should actually work on behalf of God, as a servant of God. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:27, Yad Karoshi Yad Asnasi Yad Jahosi Dadasi Yat Tapasyasi Konteya Tat Gurashva Madarpanam. Do whatever you like, or whatever may be easier for you to do. Eat whatever you may eat. Sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice. Give whatever you may give in charity. Or do whatever you may undertake in penance. But everything must be done for Him only. If you do business, or if you accept some employment, do so on behalf of the Lord. So sarvada, in all circumstances. Everyone got to do something. So do that something in a way that's acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. Whatever you, then he just expands the same point. Whatever you may eat, you may offer the same thing to the Lord and be assured that He will return the food after eating it Himself. He is the complete whole, and therefore whatever He may eat as offered by the devotee is accepted because of the devotee's love. But again, it is returned as prasad for the devotee so that he can be happy by eating. In other words, be a servant of God and live peacefully in that consciousness. Ultimately, returning home, back to Godhead. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4 more pages. We're not going to finish. It is said in the Skanda Purana, yasya smritya janam moktya, etc. Quote, if I offer my obeisances unto Him, the infallible, because simply by either remembering Him or vibrating His holy name, one can attain the perfection of all penances, sacrifices, or fruitive activities, and this process can be universally followed. So, Prabhupada has made some statements. Now he's giving scriptural reference to support those statements. One of them is this Skanda Purana, universally applicable. In this world, there are culturally different things that people consider to be good. It's good to do something. So take that good to do something and do it for Krishna, is what it's saying. And it's universally applicable. Of course, it has to be something that's offerable. But even something that's not offerable, Prabhupada gave this example of the drunken man who likes wine. And if he simply thinks, this taste of wine is Krishna, he'll become purified. Doesn't mean, keep doing it for indefinitely. But in that purified state, then taste will be refined. And so it's a lower principle, but it's a principle that, like fire is fire in all circumstances. It's the devotion. It doesn't mean, again, that forever I stay in the lower modes of nature and do that for Krishna. Steal for Krishna, murder for Krishna. This is part of this discussion I had with this Christian girl that was traveling from New York to Chicago. It was a very interesting discussion. It was like some things were very clear, and then all of a sudden they became unclear. Exactly this point was made, that if you say it doesn't matter, eat anything, do anything, just receive the mercy of God, then it's fine. Sure, God will give His mercy to a murderer, but does that mean go on being a murderer? No, don't go on being a murderer. So anyone can be the recipient of God's mercy. And then as that person progresses in devotion, what will be pleasing? In other words, the topic was vegetarianism. So you're showing me some references in the Bible that say it's okay. You can still receive mercy. It's not about what was the phrase? It's not by works alone. And there are other things like, you know, the rules of the Jewish tradition, because a lot of the original Christians came from that group. So it's not about rules, it's about relationship of love for God. But then you don't just trash rules. There's some be a murderer. Eat anything. So one can still be a recipient of God's mercy if one eats anything, if one's a murderer. But as one progresses, then there are standards to be observed, and that's why the rules are there. So you know, like, whether you turn left or right, going down the path to get to the destination, or go straight, or whatever you do. There are standards of purity. And for somebody like you, as your Bible reader, you have faith in, if you were to ask your Savior, is it okay if I just kill anything and eat it? Is it okay? Is that pleasing to you? What would he say? It's like, so, it's, you know, it doesn't matter. You can be the recipient of Christ's mercy or God's mercy, just do anything. These statements that are being made, yad karoshi, yad asnasi, it's the spirit that brings one, the spirit of bhakti that brings one to the position of refinement, of pure condition of heart, where, as she was saying, it's really about relationship. So in that relationship, what's pleasing? Scripture is there to indicate to us what's pleasing. And think of the compassionate person on the other end. There's something missing when it's just like yes and then cloudy. Something's missing. Next reference is Bhagavatam 2:3:10. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaradi, famous verse. Ti reina bhakti yogena. Continuing. Though a person be full of desires or have no desires, he may follow this path of infallible bhakti for complete perfection. Everyone's eligible. Sarvatra sarvada. It doesn't matter. Start wherever you are. Start. One need not be anxious to propitiate each and every demigod or goddess, because the root of all of them is the personality of Godhead. As by pouring water on the root of a tree, one serves and enlivens all the branches and leaves, so by rendering service to the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves every god and goddess without extraneous effort. The Lord is all-pervading, and therefore service unto him is also all-pervading. This fact is corroborated in Skanda Purana as follows. Gives the Sanskrit. When the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, who carries in his hands conch, wheel, club, and lotus flower is worshipped. Certainly, all other demigods are worshipped automatically because Hari, the personality of Godhead, is all-pervading. Then this is where I'm going to end. Therefore, in all cases, we're still on this sarvatra sarvada, namely, nominative, objective, causative, dative, ablative, possessive, and supportive. Everyone is benefited by such transcendental loving service to the Lord. One more. The man who worships the Lord himself, who is worshipped, the cause for which the Lord is worshipped, the source of supply, the place where such worship is done, etc. Everything is benefited by such an action. Implication being, you can't say that about other processes, although they may be Vedic, or they may be mentioned in revealed scriptures somewhere in the whole of scriptural references of different religions. The essence is the essence. Fire is fire. The principle of bhakti, of devotion, the mystery that opens all doors, the master key that opens all doors and gets you at the ultimate end. What is that master key? What is that mystery? It's devotional service.